Robinhood Radio presents Between the Stacks, a weekly chat about our local libraries.
Hi, everybody. This is Sarah Marshall, the director at Kent Memorial Library.
I'm Courtney Salas. I'm the director at the Millbrook Library.
How's it going?
It's good. How are you doing?
It's good. We're finally getting some much-needed rain and now maybe even some snow.
Yes, it's getting to be that time where I get to stress about whether or not to close the library.
Yeah, I know, right? I haven't thought about it for months. Here we go again.
Yep.
We may have a day tomorrow. I think it's going to be better by 11, but we'll see what happens. I think our topic this month is book banning. Certainly something that is a big national issue, less so of an issue in our little corner of the world, but it pops up for us occasionally. Do you have any stories about some book banning in your library?
So we haven't had anything be officially challenged, and I think overall our community is supportive of the work that we do. How about at your library?
Well, you know, we've had a couple of things. They're not huge incidents, but certainly alarming when they happened. One was just recently, literally right after the election, a woman came in and she was so happy to say that she's not a resident of our town, but she comes to our library with some frequency. I think she does business in the area, and she was really excited to. I'm not sure if she was elected or if she was appointed in some way, but she was telling us at the front desk that she was really excited to join her school board so that she could get the porn out of the kids' hands. She was so excited and so happy, and I just remember looking at her and listening to this and thinking, do you know where you are? Like, that's, A, you know, we're not a school. We're a public library, and definitely, there's differences in collections of what you have in schools and what you have in public libraries. Mm-hmm. And it was just like the last thing I want to hear is someone walking into the library being all excited about the book she was going to ban. But she was really excited about it. It was very strange. But, you know, I listened to some of the conversations that were happening between other librarians, and I thought, and a couple of things jumped out at me. One was that, you know, especially as a public library versus a school library, you know, we don't, kids aren't just in here randomly picking up books by themselves. You know, they're supposed to be supervised by their parents. We're not a daycare center. We're not a school. We're not a place where kids are left without adults around. And so, you know, the parents have quite a bit of responsibility when you're talking about children's books, about what it is that their kids are reading. If they are uncomfortable with it, well, then they should be sure to make sure that the kids aren't checking it out. I have a theory, though, which has always been what I was my go-to as a parent, in that you know, there's often been pushes to ban things like Harry Potter, for example, because of witchcraft and because of, you know, in the later books they become young adults and they do young adult things, which involves, you know, sex, drugs, and rock and roll. Let's just leave it at that. though that's not in the book. But, you mean, there are references to sort of adult behaviors, and people have concerns. You know, I think that more concerns are about the witchcraft than they are about the adult stuff, but whatever. But it's so different to read a book as a child versus see a film, for example. When you're reading a book, you know, if you don't understand what's going on, your brain just kind of glosses right over it. It's when they're watching the movie. So I have a lot of parents who would come in and they would say, oh, is my kid ready for Harry Potter? And my thought is, if your kid is interested in that, then yeah, but you should probably read it too. You know, read it along with them so that everyone's aware of what you're, and then have the conversation if it's something that you're concerned about, rather than say, oh, this shouldn't exist because of XYZ, or is my kid ready for this, you know. The movies are a very different ballgame, and we do circulate those, of course, but that's how an adult is envisioning the book, right? So when you're reading about a scary, something frightening, or something that's sort of a more adult theme, if you watch a film, the child watches a film, that's the way the adult has perceived it versus the way their own imagination can go. So I always just warn people that if they have concerns, they should be reading it with their child, not hiding it away. Then it becomes forbidden fruit.
So I will say, my parents did a wonderful job raising me, and I had a very good childhood. And this is not like a bash on them or anything, but I was probably in high school. Maybe around like 15 or 16, I got a book out from the library, and it was a young adult book, but it was a horror series, and I left it on the counter. The cover looked pretty scary, and I guess my dad picked it up, and he read like the first couple pages, and like it started off intense, and he was like, you can't read this. This needs to go back to the library, because he was thinking like, I'm going to be traumatized by this.
Right.
So what I did is I was like, I argued a little bit, and I was like, okay, Dad, we'll bring it back to the library, and then proceeded to pretend to take a bath and sit on the bathroom floor and read it in an hour.
Of course, of course.
Because it was like, now I have to read it.
Of course, and I mean, we all passed around stuff like that. I mean, anybody went to summer camp, you know, like, what, kids are curious. Kids want to know about what it is like to be an adult. And a book, for me, in my perception, is a much safer way to introduce or to be exposed to sort of adult stuff versus, you know, if you give them a phone, it's over. You know what I mean? Like, they have access to everything on there. And a book is still, like, their imagination only goes so far. So when they're reading something, if it's, you know, I have a great example. My daughter will murder me, but this is a true story that happened in my parenting days. My daughter was probably 12, maybe 13, probably 12, and she picked up a book in the young adult section, which she was moving into out of the kids' books, and it's a book called Into the Wild Nerd Yonder, and I had read it because I read a lot of, at that time I was reading a lot of young adult, and I remember it being funny. And she was like, can I read this? And I was like, sure, go ahead, because I'd read it, and I enjoyed it. So long story short, she reads it over the weekend, and on the Sunday night, I'm about to go back to work on Monday morning, and I put it in my bag, and I was like, you know, I should see what this is about. I kind of forget. And I read it, and basically the story was a teenager, a kid who went to high school, who had a best friend, and the best friend kind of went, matured rather quickly in her interests and her pursuits. And the other one didn't. The other one became a theater kid and got into costume design and meeting all these sort of arty and creative kids. But she was still dealing with the fact that her best friend, who she'd known her whole life, was crossing into adult behavior quickly. Really quickly, shockingly quickly, actually, for this girl. And so she, as the protagonist, the first girl, was watching this from a distance and saying, whoa, I don't want that. That's not what I want. But there was still description of what this other girl was doing, right? Because it was the way that this, you know, ninth grader, 10th grader was processing it all. And there were some comments about oral sex. So I had forgotten about those comments completely. Totally forgotten about it. And I don't remember how explicit it was, but it was explicit enough that as a parent, I was like, oh, what have I done? Why, what have I done? And so I went into my daughter's room and I said, hey, I just reread this book and realized there's some stuff in there that, you know, you and I haven't talked about yet. Do you have any questions? I'm sorry. And she was like, yeah, Mom. Yeah. And I was like, okay, so would you... What can we do? Do you want to talk about it? And she was like, well, I didn't know what it was, so I called my friend Emily. And I was like, oh, gosh. So now I have to call Emily's mother. But, you know, we were able to have a frank conversation about stuff. She had a little brother. She was like, what? That doesn't make any sense. Why would anybody do that? Like, but at the same time, we were able to talk about it honestly and say, yeah, you know, this is some people have different things that they do when they get to be adults, when they get older. And you know, we can talk about that more when you're interested. But at this point, yeah, let's just sort of leave it at that. But, you know, yes, so we do have things in the collection. They are not for everybody. If a parent isn't reading what their kid is reading, that's the kind of stuff that's going to happen. But at the same time, if you're a 10th grader, you're getting exposed to that all day in your high school. It's impossible to imagine that these kids are not, you know, trying out adult behavior. I have another good banning book story. You want to hear it?
Sure, yeah.
Okay, so this is a person in town who has since passed, but she was like a long-time library volunteer and beloved by everyone. And she had taken out a collection of Flannery O'Connor short stories, you know, American classics for sure. And she came back into the library, and she was quite upset. She said, I was reading this book, and it keeps using, I'll say the N-word, it keeps using the N-word, and it just really upset me, and I think it should go away. I think this book should be removed. And I said, well, thank you. You know, we have a policy. I'm sure you have a policy. I said, we'll take a look at it, and we'll go through our policy and see. Well, you know, it's Flannery O'Connor. Like, this is a serious piece of American literature. And so I looked at it on my desk for probably a month without knowing what to do. Just, what do I do? What do I do? And eventually, you know, looked at the policy really carefully, went through it step by step with my head of circulation. We determined that, yes, this, you know, vulgar and inappropriate language was in this book, but at the same time, it was integral to the piece. She was reflecting the time that and her place where she was living and where she had written, blah, blah, blah. And we decided to keep the book. So I had to reach out to the person who, she didn't file a formal complaint. She didn't put it on paper, but she had come in and said, take it out. So I reached out to her and I said, you know, we went through our collection policy and our deaccessioning policy and decided that this book was going to stay in the collection. These are the reasons why. And she said, what? I didn't do that.
Oh man.
And I had been stewing over this for weeks. Oh gosh, it was a riot. And she had completely forgotten and then was like, oh yeah, I'm sure that's fine. It's Flannery O'Connor. And I said, yeah, okay. So, anyway, we do occasionally get book challenges. It's not very common, but that's what the policies are for. I think they keep us all safe. We can refer to them if the book has, you know, merit, literary merit, if it's filling a hole in the collection, if it's not something that we're necessarily advertising, you know, front and center, and it stays in the collection. You know, we tend to err on the side of having something for everybody, something that will offend everyone, not just some people. But, you know, across the nation, it is a problem. I don't think we're really dealing with it too much here.
Yeah, we did have a concern at the beginning of the year about a couple of books in our children's collection, and mm-hmm. one of them in particular, but it was miscatalogued, and it was put in the correct section as soon as we realized it.
So, oh, that's interesting. Like it was an adult or a young adult book?
It was a young adult book, and it was accidentally classified in the children's section.
Yeah.
But I think, like, I know, and I'm sure you feel this way too, like, I am always very personally aware of, like, my own biases, and
sure.
I, like, try very hard to purposely buy things that, like, maybe I wouldn't necessarily be interested in reading, or, like, I wouldn't pick up a book on that topic. But
right.
I'm like, just because I'm not interested doesn't mean other people in the community wouldn't be interested.
Right,
in it.
Right.
So I think I try really hard when I'm doing collection development to be very aware of my own personal feelings and to acknowledge them and be like, you should buy the thing that makes you feel uncomfortable.
Well, sometimes it makes you feel uncomfortable because it's uncomfortable, because it's unpleasant. But yeah, I think we're already running out of our 15 minutes of time. Do you want to talk about what you've got going on and hot books in your collection right now?
Oh my gosh, we have so much this December. I'm like, what did we do to ourselves? So we're having the Friends of Millbrook Library having a holiday silent auction that runs from December 6th to December 21st. We're having our holiday silent auction kickoff party on the 6th from 5:30 to 7. It's the same day as the Parade of Lights in Millbrook.
Nice.
So it's going to be packed. It should be a lot of fun. We're going to have music, some food and drinks and stuff. We're doing kind of like a winter storytelling event also on the 21st with Odd Spodkin, which should be really exciting.
Wow.
He's going to tell some winter tales. And we're really excited to collaborate with the Millbrook Rotary for New Year's Eve Millbrook on December 31st this year from 5 to 6. At that location, we're going to have a glow-in-the-dark bubble blast. So we're hopping.
Wow. That's a wild December.
Yeah. I'm like, what did we do?
How did I get here? Yeah. Wow. We tend to be a little quieter until it gets very busy after the holiday for our children's programming, but our adult programming tends to quiet down a little bit. Today, though, is not a good example of that. Today, we have three programs right in a row. We've got an arts, not crafts program for the teens, a Spanish conversation group that meets at 6, and then young adult game night, which is at 7. So it's going to be one of those endless library days for the staff. Our Spanish conversation group and our French conversation group have been remarkably popular. The Spanish group meets roughly once a month, and the French group meets twice a month. And they've been getting, you know, 10, 12, 15 people showing up regularly. It's been really, really nice and shows, you know, that there's an interest here in languages and communication. It's really lovely. We do a lot of tutoring, language tutoring here, and what's really lovely to see is that a lot of the students who are learning English, particularly the Spanish-speaking ones, come to this group, the Spanish conversation group, and in this opportunity, they are the authority versus the student, they're the teacher. And it's been really, really neat and really good for just building community, and we've been happy about that. What are your big books this round? Anything exciting?
So my personal recommendation is a little weird, but I just read a great book called Over My Dead Body, Unearthing the Hidden History of America's Cemeteries by Greg Melville.
Mm.
And my assistant director asked for, like, recommendations for cozy nonfiction, and it was a realization I don't read cozy nonfiction because I had just finished this.
Yeah.
But it's just super interesting, and it takes a look at cemeteries around America, kind of like the history of them, like the different phases they've passed through in terms of, like, landscape architecture and, like, art in cemeteries. So it was a very weird topic, but it was a really interesting book.
Oh, that's fun. I just finished something that came out in the spring, but I only got a hold of it recently, called The Ministry of Time.
Oh, I've heard about that.
Oh, it's weird and fabulous. And as I've discovered now, they're making it into a TV show, but it's about government-sanctioned and controlled time travel. It's set in the near future, but there's all sorts of interesting conversations in there about what it means to be out of your element, what it means to be a refugee. And so these people, they basically, it's long and complicated, but basically they sort of scoop people up from times past and bring them into the present. And considering they call them expats, but it's, you know, we have expats now. They just aren't necessarily from a different time. They're from a different part of the world. Oh, and it's funny, and there's a love story piece of it, but that's not really what it's about. It's, you know, it's government stuff. There's a lot going on, but boy, did I really enjoy it.
That sounds great.
Yeah, that was great. I highly recommend it. It's one of those, it's stuck in my head now, so I'm going to have to read it again. As soon as the next person brings it back, I'm going to read it again. But our other big popular ones, you know, the Louise Penny's, you know, she just put out a new one, Grey Wolf.
Yeah, that's
Samantha Harvey's Orbital's popular right now. There's a new Wimpy Kid, so of course that'll be out and about, you know, as soon as possible. How about you guys? Anything new and exciting?
Louise Penny, the Grey Wolf, is at the top of our list. I think Be Ready When the Luck Happens.
Oh, yeah.
By Ina Garten.
Ina Garten, yeah.
That's all.
Nice.
Between the Stacks is produced at the facilities of Robin Hood Radio 91.9 FM, Sharon, Connecticut.